Good afternoon. You're listening to The Emily Rooney Show. It was June 1st of last year, just around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Dark greenish clouds started forming over parts of central and western Massachusetts. A couple of hours later, 7 tornadoes had touched down, snapping and ripping up wide swaths of trees, destroying dozens of homes and parts of municipal buildings in Springfield. Over 10,000 Massachusetts residents and businesses filed insurance claims or sought government assistance. Let's just say the result has been a mixed bag. We've been following the story of Ken Bailey and his wife, Jean. They live in Munson. Their insurance company came through, but he describes FEMA assistance as a joke. And a $70,000 tree clearance bill left him broke. Ken Bailey joins us now by telephone. And in the studio are Barbara Anthony, who's the Undersecretary of the Office of Consumer Affairs and Big Business Regulation, and Insurance Commissioner Joseph Murphy. Welcome to everybody.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Ken, good to have you again.
Nice to be with you.
Just a year ago today, describe, if you were sitting inside your house or on a top floor of your house, looking out the windows, what you would have seen then versus what you see now.
Pretty much, Emily, nothing but trees. And that was the wonderful thing about it. We were completely surrounded by old oak trees, 60 to 80 feet tall. Barely could see my neighbor's house. It was very, very pleasant, very private, very comfortable sort of area.
How many trees were there, would you say?
Well, I had 5 acres here, and it was all but about 1 acre was solid oak trees, oak forest, basically. So I think probably 300 to 400 mature trees that were knocked down.
And what do you see now when you look out your window?
Well, basically, I'm looking out the window right now, and I see completely across the valley. It is, up till now, it was a moonscape because of the devastation, but it is turning green.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. Yeah,
even though the weeds are, you know, the green is a lot of weeds, but it is still a lot more pleasant now.
Yeah, that's what I would think. That you know, with spring comes renewal. And have you seen the seedlings of trees, or is anything coming back like that? Any kind of a tree?
Absolutely. In a lot of the areas on my land, it's the small saplings that weren't damaged are sprouting like crazy because now they have full sun where they never had it before. And everything is growing. It is really a joy to see it starting off again.
And look at the upside, Ken, as I know you always do. In a couple hundred years, it'll be completely reforested, you know? It'll be no problem.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. I will never see Munson, the town of Munson, the same as I remember it, as it was a year ago. But, you know, everything changes, and we just accept the change. And, you know, the one benefit is I have a magnificent view across the valley now.
Yeah, you have a great attitude. As you know, we have here in the studio both the insurance commissioner for the state of Massachusetts, Joseph Murray, and the undersecretary of the Office of Consumer Affairs, Barbara Anthony. I just want to give you an opportunity to maybe interact with them. I know you had a very positive experience with your insurance company. You told me a great story. You went to the insurance company before you went home. You were out of town. Your wife actually saw the tornadoes strike Munson She could see them following right up to practically to the door of your house. She knew that it was going to be a problem there. But just review for their sake what you did that was the right move.
Basically, after we'd secured the house that night, we went and stayed in the motorhome down at my where I work, where I'd parked it. And the first thing in the morning, it was 6:30 in the morning, we drove from there to the insurance office, my agent's office, and they were there waiting for us.
So, that's great.
Yeah, we got that going first, and by later on that day, if I remember rightly, or at the latest, the very next morning, the insurance adjuster from Hanover was already on site.
Mm-hmm. And how long did you have to wait before you got a check?
Basically, they gave us a check that day.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, just a survival check. You know, they gave us a few thousand dollars just to get going, get what you need, go somewhere to sleep, get secured. house was, you know, at that time uninhabitable. But, you know, they wrote us a check that day.
I should explain, your house survived, but it was uninhabitable. There was all kinds of things torn off it and blown into it, so it was a wreck, but it did survive.
Yes.
But you also told us that a lot of your neighbors either didn't have insurance or didn't bother with it. That's kind of where I want to go now. What were some of the holes in this whole thing?
I'm sorry, could you repeat
that? What were some of the problems that your neighbors faced in terms of, you know, getting to their insurance agents, and some of them still haven't collected?
Correct. There was underinsured houses. There's a house across the street that was uninsured completely. Well, it was insured at one time, but the insurance company canceled them because they refused to get a fence around their pool. I'm sure they lived to regret that decision. One of my good friends, still haven't got the house started. A little bit, the roof was fixed, and that was the end of it, because they had a private adjuster get involved, and all that private adjuster did was delay, and these poor people are crying because they cannot get their house fixed.
I don't want to bring Joe Murphy and Barbara Anthony into this. I mean, I know nothing happens quickly, and it's only been a year, actually, when you look down at it, because, I mean, Joplin, Missouri was also destroyed. I mean, houses don't go up overnight, but just you know, if you sort of weigh in on the frustrations of people, if you know, you can't do anything about somebody who's underinsured or has no insurance, or can you, Joe? Can you do anything?
Well, I think, you know, and as we've seen with Mr. Bailey, that the response we've seen so far, in excess of 98% of the claims have been resolved. That's consistent with what, in talking to some of my colleagues in Missouri and Louisiana and other states, have seen after events like this. That's not to say we're not concerned about that 2%, and we're doing everything we can. I was out in that area last Friday. I'll be out again this Friday, and the undersecretary and I are going out next Tuesday. We'll be announcing, I think, the results of a study that we've undertaken at the division across every insurance company and how claims are being resolved. One of the lessons learned, I think, from an event like this is an opportunity to better educate consumers, to Mr. Bailey's point, about understanding coverage, perhaps limitations, what, you know, if they don't have full replacement value, if they should. And we issued some information immediately after the tornadoes on public adjusters. Do you need to have a public adjuster? More often than not, folks can use their insurance agent to serve as their advocate, but some do, and we've cautioned them about public adjusters. And
He was referring to a private adjuster. What does that mean?
Those are public adjusters. That'd be an adjuster that a consumer hires to advocate on their behalf through the claims process. That's separate from the company adjuster that, in Mr. Bailey's case, Hanover Insurance.
So you're thinking you might
do
better with a public or private adjuster who comes in, but in this case, they might have.
We were trying to educate folks about the fact that you may not need a public adjuster, and in some cases, there could be a delay. They can charge up to 10% of the recovery amount. That's something that a consumer needs to be aware of. It's legally allowable, but we're trying to educate consumers. Unfortunately, you know, insurance, to step back a little bit, is a product that nobody likes to buy. You only access it in times of distress. When you're in a car accident, your home burns down, you have an accident, you need health insurance, or you know, someone is sick, or you access life insurance at the time of someone's dead. So nobody wants to think about it. Nobody certainly wants to talk about it. And we're trying to encourage folks to look at their policies annually, make sure they have appropriate coverage limits if perhaps they've made some type of improvement to their home, furnished their basement, and make sure that they are protecting their most valuable asset.
Well, Barbara, do consumers have absolutely let's just take Munson, the residents of Munson, for example. Do they have no recourse if they have no insurance?
Well, as Joe is saying, if you're one of the things that he didn't mention actually is that in these cases where someone may be uninsured, his office, I think he was a little bit modest here, has actually negotiated on behalf of consumers with a variety of insurance companies, so that we've kind of stretched things as much as possible. So if you have some insurance, even if you are a little bit even if you're underinsured, we've been able to get people more than they might otherwise not have received. If you have no insurance, then there really isn't anything we can do vis-a-vis an insurance company. Now, that said, You know, I think that if I can just bring this up to a 40,000-foot level for a second, in terms of the overall state effort that was applied to Western Massachusetts during this terrible time, and incidentally, Mr. Bailey and his family survived, and we're all grateful for that, that so many people did survive, and we had just a few terrible fatalities. But we were in there within 2 weeks with 9 disaster relief centers. It isn't just the Division of Insurance. We had the Department of Housing and Development, and is still subsidizing hundreds of families who were renters. Their owners didn't rebuild. Those folks are in subsidized housing now, which the state is helping to pay for, number one. Number two, the Department of Transitional Assistance helped 20,000 families for several months out there. The Department of Public Health was out there. The environmental folks were out there. My office, the Consumer Affairs Office, we were out there. And one of the things that we tried to really impress upon people who did have some insurance is before you hire a contractor to make the repairs, I know in a time of emergency, everybody wants to get it done right away, but there were a lot of scam artists running around Western Mass. My office was out there chasing them, basically, and trying to inform consumers, shop around for a contractor, get estimates, don't take the first guy who comes knocking on the door. And if you do that, you're going to end up with problems. You're probably going to overpay, and then your insurance company isn't going to agree to pay the price that you agreed to pay the contractor for.
Well, I was going to say, Ken, that essentially happened to you with your tree removal. You had to have that done right away because you couldn't even access your house.
Right.
So this guy comes in with his heavy equipment, and before you know it, you've got a $70,000 bill. You negotiated with it. I think you said you paid the tree service $30,000. Then they sued you. You sued them. What happened with that?
Basically, thanks to the commission offices, they suggested that we go back to our insurance company, and we did, and they handled it. It turned out very well. They came to an agreement and ended up paying this guy an extra $18,000, I think, which is way over what he deserved.
Yeah,
but
really,
it put it to bed, and basically that's everything's been settled.
Yeah, because he didn't actually remove the trees. He just kind of parted the waters, so to speak, so you could access your house. He chopped them up a little bit. But
yeah, he removed what he could make money on.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. He loaded up his truck and took a whole bunch of nice oak logs out with him. But, that's at least it's all being finalized and being settled, and we don't have that hanging over our head now. That was a big worry for us.
What was your reaction? Barbara Anthony was talking about the 9 disaster relief centers that were set up. Did you go to any of them? Did your neighbors go to any of them?
We used nothing from the state, but we used the local churches were wonderful, and we ate at most of the churches. At the local church here, the first church, for about a month, because although we were living in another house that we'd rented, we found a fellowship that went along with eating with other people, so much more therapeutic, you could talk to other people and see how they get along, and it just helped everybody. I missed that.
And just refresh us on your FEMA experience. I know they were going to help you out with some financial aid in terms of food. Just refresh us on what happened there.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure what agency that was, but we had a food card. And basically, we didn't use it for the first month, and when we went to go get it, it was like some assistance, to get...
You said it was like $343 or something?
Right, exactly. And they canceled it on us. And they said, there was not enough funds in it. And that was the only assistance that we were going to get from the state or any, FEMA or anything.
They turned up
and canceled that.
Yeah.
So, I just don't have a whole lot of... let me back up a little bit. FEMA doesn't help the individual homeowner. It helps the town get back on their feet. And that's fine. It's just, it seemed like everybody was promising FEMA. The people here from FEMA says, come and sign up, we'll help you. But they never did.
Hmm.
So we signed up for everything. And this small farm small farm bureau, because I own 5 acres, they may give me some assistance if I let part of the land go back to the way it was for 10 years. But that's, you know, again, they've sort of reserved some funds for us, but I don't know whether, I'm not holding my breath.
You know? Yeah, you want to weigh in on that, Barbara? Because I think people were a lot of, in shock that FEMA wasn't really as helpful as they thought.
Well, FEMA may, first of all, in terms of the disaster relief centers, that we weren't providing meals at those centers. What we were providing was a whole range of information, including about FEMA and the Small Business Administration and loans. And the way I understand it works is that FEMA will, you may be eligible for FEMA funds, but that's after everything else has been exhausted. And I know that it's already been a year, but it does take a long time. The same is true of Small Business Administration loans. And I would just encourage listeners in Western Massachusetts who have applications into FEMA that if they wanted to contact our office, we'd be very happy to
see if we can be of assistance there.
So it does take a while. The state has also provided millions and millions of dollars in construction money and other money for rebuilding Massachusetts. I mean, the governor immediately, I think there was a total of like $25 million extra dollars within a few months that was available to Western Massachusetts. And there are even more efforts. More money, I think, is going to be announced shortly for that effort. So, I think that within a year, we've done an awful lot. I'm going to disagree with what you said earlier about the results being mixed and the fact that 98% of the claims have been paid, that, we have only a few hundred families still in subsidized housing. Most people's claims were paid. There are job situations, you know, people looking for jobs and all kinds of things that I think in the past year, the state has made excellent efforts to try to help this area to come back. And we're not done yet. You know, this takes, as Joe was saying, he speaks to his colleagues in other states where they have been disastrous, takes more than just a year to fully come back. And I'm afraid we're not going to be a lot different.
You know, I just want to get Joe to weigh in on this because Ken was very complimentary of his insurance company, Hanover. Did it matter what insurance company you had? And there's so many dozens of little and middle-sized. They're all ranges.
We've got, you know, close to 100 insurance companies in Massachusetts selling products. We've seen that the response was pretty much across the board. Companies responded well. We assisted in the immediate aftermath once the first responders got out of there and deemed that the area was safe to go into. We had companies applying for emergency licenses to get their company appraisers into those impacted areas and as Mr. Bailey mentioned, get some living expense money into the hands of folks who needed it. So the response, I think, has been positive and it was across the board. Of course, there's some remaining claims issues we're assisting consumers with, we're looking into, and where it's appropriate, you know, we'll take action. But I think the industry as a whole responded extremely well to this, to the terrible events a year ago.
Talking about the tornadoes of Western and Central Massachusetts, 1 year later, I'm talking to Undersecretary of Consumer Affairs, Barbara Anthony, Insurance Commissioner, Joseph Murray, and Ken Bailey of Munson. When we return, we're going to hear more of Ken's story. He lost all of his concession trailers, $75,000 worth, had a hard time getting an SBA loan. We'll find out where that stands. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more of that. You're listening to The Emily Rooney Show, 89.7 WGBH, Boston Public Radio. Hello again. You're listening to The Emily Rooney Show. We're talking by telephone to Ken Bailey, a Munson homeowner whose property and concession trailers were destroyed by tornadoes a year ago. In studio here with me are Barbara Anthony, Undersecretary of the Office of Consumer Affairs, and the Insurance Commissioner, Joseph Murray. But by the way, Barbara, I should have attributed this more accurately, but it was Munson Town Administrator Gretchen Neggers who described the insurance company's response to the Munson tornadoes as a mixed bag. She says that right now there are about 30 Munson homeowners that have suffered damage to their homes that still have not reached agreement with their insurers. So she's the one who's describing it as a mixed bag.
Okay, I think that, and I want to speak for
Joe.
That
was in March, I guess.
That was back in March. This is what, now May.
Yeah.
number one, we certainly invite all those homeowners to give the commissioner's office a call. We know the numbers of complaints that we have from consumers. And barring in situations where there's no insurance, where we can't make a company pay for something, of course, where there's no contract between the homeowner and the company. But we have been willing to negotiate with the companies. We've even gotten involved with contractors to try to bring some relief to homeowners. So all I can say there is, if someone hasn't reached out to us, then we don't know what their situation is. So I certainly would ask the homeowners, if they have not reached out to the Division of Insurance, we are very interested in talking with them. You know, we all want the same thing. We want to bring Munson back to where it was. We want to provide assistance to homeowners out there who may be still suffering and have not had they're not made whole. Mm-hmm. Yet. So please call the Division of Insurance. I promise you that we will make every effort that we can possibly make to help people resolve these claims. Now, sometimes, Emily, they are complex.
I know,
for example,
yeah.
Where someone may be uninsured, dramatically
right.
uninsured and things of that nature, but it doesn't mean we won't make an effort.
Sure.
We'll
yeah,
still
I would,
try.
I would just add, we were the Division of Insurance went out to Munson in early April. We did spent about 4 hours brought out our consumer service assistance people. We spent 4 hours meeting with about 9 families who are continuing to have some issues. Mostly these are, as the undersecretary mentioned, issues of underinsurance, and we're working with them and the insurance companies to try to resolve those satisfactorily.
Mm. All right. Ken, continuing with your story, you finally settled the deal with the tree clearers because you got your insurance company back involved, which was a good thing, and you credited the Office of Consumer Affairs for helping you there. But you also had these concession trailers that you use, I think, at Brimfield Fair and some other things that you said there was about $75,000 worth of damage to them. And that is your business. What happened with your attempt to get a small business association loan?
We had several attempts, and they came back several times, and basically we gave up. We'd taken out a loan with the bank at a much higher interest rate to replace the trailers, which we have done, but it's at a higher interest rate, and basically what we're doing is just taking every penny we make and paying them off as quick as we can. So, you know.
So you got no help from the Small Business Association?
No, it just went around and around, and we just said to hell with it. You know, I gave up working. You know, and don't get me wrong, I'm sure they helped a lot of people, but
yeah, no, I know.
It doesn't seem to work for us. And so, we've always been self-reliant anyway, and so we said, no, hell with it. We'll just get it paid off as soon as we can, and that's what we're doing. We're putting as much money down on the loan as we can, just to get ahead of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, would he not qualify for some kind of loan from the administration?
Well, the Small Business Administration, is a federal agency that does have resources in these situations. My understanding is that, again, they are a lender of last resort in this kind of a situation. I'm not familiar with Mr. Bailey's situation with respect to the concession trailer, so mm-hmm. I don't know whether they were insured or not.
Were they insured, Ken?
No, they were not. Hmm. That's the reason we had to go and take a personal loan and redo it. So there was no insurance.
They weren't insured even as a vehicle?
Yes, but my wife, because we've had trailers, not exactly these ones, but for 25 years we've been insuring trailers and never had a claim. We said, she said, we don't need comprehensive.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Taking it off on January or February of that last year, and unfortunately, it came back to bite us big time.
Yep.
But that's our fault. That's our fault. But it's just Small Business Administration. And, just going by the name, you'd think they'd help us a little bit with a low interest loan, but we just gave up.
Well, who do they help, Joe?
Well, as Undersecretary Anthony mentioned, they I believe, and again, they're a federal program, but I believe they're the loan entity of last resort. So I think once you've exhausted all, if you're unable to get or qualify for a loan, I think out in the sort of the voluntary, what I call the voluntary market, they would be sort of a backstop. So I'm not familiar with the particulars in Mr. Bailey's application for that. But certainly we can, you know, if we can be of assistance, we'll take another look. Again, as he mentioned, it's not really an insurance problem per se, but
no,
you know, our response on behalf of the administration is comprehensive.
But the idea is that the Small Business Administration would have given him a loan at a lower rate.
Right.
And here is obviously a guy who's doing everything. He's already paying back the loan that he's taken out on the trailers. And it's just like, if the government's not helping a business like that, who the hell are they helping?
Makes it a bit of a misnomer, isn't it? It's meant to help small businesses, which is what we are, you know. But whatever, we'll get there.
I mean, I just have to know more about the facts of the case. It could be that if you can get a commercial loan, that the SBA's money may be saved for those folks who can't, for whom a community bank will not provide lending. And I don't know for sure, but I'd be happy to talk to Mr. Bailey about this offline. Mm-hmm. And I know he's obtained his loan and so on, but it sounds like, unfortunately, he wasn't able to continue with the SBA process. Mm-hmm. So we don't know how it would have concluded.
You know, just getting back to the whole notion of insurance here for a second, Joe, because you know, people in lowlands know that they have to have flood insurance. Of course, then the insurance companies say, we're not going to insure you for flood insurance because you're in a lowland. There's all these kind of catch-22s when it comes to insurance. And you think a guy like Ken Bailey living in a beautiful mountaintop, but certainly not on the top of a mountain. He wasn't living on a cliff. I mean, you don't think of tornadoes as hitting Massachusetts. He had the right kind of insurance. I mean, people are constantly wading through this morass. You know, and no one really, and frankly, your insurance agents aren't really the ones that are going to help you out. Is that true?
Well, I think insurance agents play an important role in advising consumers on how much coverage they should have, and they certainly do that across the board. I think we can do a better job. We provide a lot of consumer information on our website and try to get that out to the public. But again, I think we can do a better job around consumer education and reminding people that, you know, you're supposed to change your batteries in your smoke detector when you change the clocks. Well, annually, you should really look at your insurance policies. I know it's not sexy. It's not something anyone wants to take the time to do, but it's important because we never thought tornadoes would hit this area of Massachusetts. And we had actually, I think it was around 100 individual tornadoes.
Oh, was it that many?
That hit in for the first major tornado, I think, in 57 years is what we're seeing after it occurred. So,
I mean, people seem to know that you have to cover your home and its contents for the value of a mortgage. But if you're later in life, like Joe and his wife, and maybe you've paid down your mortgage, right, you're thinking, oh, I don't need to have that much insurance. And then suddenly you realize that's not the case.
No, absolutely. And one of the things we're in the process of doing is mounting a big educational campaign, really, in areas of the state that are susceptible to hazards, whether it's shoreline or out in Western Mass, because that's actually, you know, when you're getting older and you've paid off your house, the last thing you can afford is to have to repair your home if you are subject to some natural catastrophe. So it's exactly the opposite kind of thinking. And we need to do a better job in terms of educating consumers in that area. Now, there is one thing, however, that I think, you know, we haven't said, and it, unfortunately, poor Mr. Bailey found himself, you know, in the middle of this. And it's simply that if you have a lot of trees on your property, unless those trees, when they are hit by a tornado or windstorm or something, damage your house or vehicle or another structure, it's not covered. Fallen trees that don't damage other property are simply not available for coverage under residential insurance coverage. Now, if you are a commercial logging company, then that's a different situation. But if you're a resident and you have acres of trees, unfortunately, insurance companies are not required to offer coverage for trees unless those trees cause damage to your structure. I mean, I'm old enough to remember a hurricane, Hurricane Diane, I think it was, many years ago, and this huge tree fell across my parents' backyard. I mean, it was humongous, biggest thing I ever saw. Well, you know, it didn't hit the house. There was no damage to the house, to the yard, and my parents had to
pay for the tree to be home.
Had to get the, you know, we had it for years. We used it as a jungle playground. You know, we had a great time with it, but that was That has been the situation for a long time. If it's a residential tree and it doesn't cause injury or damage to property, then unfortunately it's the homeowner's responsibility.
Right. A lot of people went through that, obviously, with Irene, too.
Yep.
And unfortunately, that visual scarring that Mr. Bailey spoke of, it's going to take some time for that to rebuild. I know there was a weather event, I think, in the mid-90s out in Great Barrington, and there's great swaths of land where you can see, you know, young, immature trees.
Actually, there was a tornado in the 70s in Stockbridge.
In Stockbridge.
Actually, there was 4 people killed in that one. Yeah. And you're right, there was another one in the 90s. That's right. And it takes, our lifetime, right, Ken?
Yes, exactly. This is my new view, and that's all I'm going to see. I'm never going to see my big trees again, but that's, you know.
So you said you and wife, Jean, were thinking about leaving. She was really disappointed after this happened. Have you kind of squared that away? You think you're going to hunker down, or what are you going to do?
I'm happy here, but she's still not comfortable here anymore. We'll just have to see how it works out.
But you did put your business back together.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. We just came off the Brimfield Antique Show.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. How'd that go?
It was very good. A lot of people come out, and that was good because it was a lot of people had money and they were buying, which, you know, for the antique dealers is great, and which is a good indicator that people maybe not so being so cautious with their money and they're starting to spend.
Good. That's a good economic indicator.
Exactly. That's what I look at it. You know, being in the food business out there, the number of people present indicates how well I'll do. But for the antique dealers, it's whether the people present are going to actually spend the money.
Yes.
Or they're just tire kicking, basically. But this time, the antique dealers were thrilled because there was a lot of money changing hands, and most dealers had an excellent show,
which
to me indicates that people are sort of maybe getting more comfortable with the financial situation.
All right. Well, Ken Bailey, thanks so much for checking in with us, and we'll keep in touch with you as well.
My pleasure, Emily.
Really been a pleasure getting to know you. Just, okay. I wanted to have maybe a couple final thoughts here from Joe and Barbara.
Well, I think, you know, one of the lessons that we can all learn from this is, Joe was saying earlier, just in terms of the insurance issue, because I know that's what we've been focusing on. And, you know, it's something that you don't want to have to do. You don't want to have to sit there and look at your policy and think about increasing your limits and paying more. But this should serve as an example to everyone in our state within the listening area, Emily, that is something that we should all do to protect ourselves, because we can't be 100% safe from all exigencies that may occur. So it's very, very good advice.
Yeah.
I would just encourage people that are still having issues as a result of the tornado to reach out to us on that or actually any other insurance issue. We receive, in the Undersecretary's office as well, several hundred phone calls a week from consumers. And it's one-stop shopping. Even though our domain is insurance, we work within consumer affairs, and we're not going to foist you off on someone else. We'll try to resolve you or point you in the right direction and resolve your issues. And so I'd encourage people to reach out to our offices.
All right. We'll post some information on our website, too, at wgbh.org and emily.wgbh.org. Thank you so much for both for being with us.
You're welcome.
Barbara Anthony.
It's great to be here.
Joseph Murray,
thanks
for all your information.
Thank you, Mr. Bailey.
All right, and Ken Bailey, he was great. All right, up next, he just won the National Peter B. Goldberg Award. What does that mean? He's an all-around good community service guy who hails from Boston. Randall Rucker is here. You're listening to The Emily Rooney Show from 89.7 WGBH, Boston Public Radio.